If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of Joshua, please. Joshua chapter 6, 7, and 8. No, I'm just kidding. We will be in a little bit of each one of those chapters. Let's begin reading in Joshua chapter 6. We're going to read just a few verses. And I don't normally do this, but I'm going to give you the title. It'd be today and tonight, two different piles of rock. I'm going to preach on today this subject. You can learn a lot from a pile of rock. Amen. We've heard a statement in years gone by, Brother Larry, somebody say about somebody, well, they're dumber than a box of rocks. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, this pile of rocks, God put them in the Bible two different times in chapter 7 and chapter 8 to teach us something and to cause us to remember something. And he set them up that we might not forget. Amen. How many believes that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Amen. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God. Read just a few verses and then get into the message today. The Word of God said that in verse number 17 of chapter number 6, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Then he uses this phrase, only Rahab, the harlot, shall live, she and all that are in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Now, I'm not going to split hairs with you, but I want to tell you this. Rahab, the Bible said, was saved because she hid the messengers. But don't ever forget this. She hid the messengers because she believed the message. If you'll go back over to the Bible said go back over with me, please. I didn't mark it. Yeah, I did. Joshua 2:11. And the Bible said, when they showed up there, Rahab said this, and as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. This is a perfect picture of what James points out in the Word of God. Beloved, the Bible will tell you that you're saved by faith. And then the Bible will tell you you're saved by works. You see, the faith that saves works. It always does. We don't believe in a work salvation, but we believe in a salvation that works. Amen? And so Rahab didn't just believe in her mind, but she believed in her heart, believed that God was who he said he was, and it caused her to hide the messengers. Now watch this. The Bible said, and ye in any wise keep yourself from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Chapter 7, verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Verse 11, Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen. I was just reading this verse a while ago. I've read this text right here, I don't know how many times in the last two or three days, and I picked up on something else. They had stolen. You know what the Bible said? Will a man rob God? You see, what Achan had taken, part of that belonged to God. Did you hear me? The gold and the silver was to go into the house of the Lord. And so the Bible said he had stolen. It's one thing to steal. It's another thing to steal from God. And dissembled also, and they put it even among their own stuff. Now drop down with me in verse 25. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire. And after that they had stoned them with stones. Now look at verse 26. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, Wherefore, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. And again, it uses the phrase, unto this day. We're going to see what we can learn from a pile of rocks right here in verse number 26 in chapter 7. Please be seated and pray with us. Our Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you for your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost that makes the word of God real to us and teaches us. Lord, I pray that you would anoint these lips of clay. I pray, Lord, that you would anoint our ears, that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. Lord, we love you, and it's all because you first loved us. Help us, we pray. Help us, Lord. We need help in these days. We need your touch. We need your power. We need your presence. And we ask you, Father, to help us. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's young and said, amen. Amen. God, in the Scripture, in different places, sets up stones. And it's a memorial. It's something that God wants us to remember when we come to this stack of stones or this pile of rocks. And I want you to understand the way this was birthed in my heart is that there's a great victory in chapter number 6. They had won the battle at Jericho. They had followed God's instructions to the T. The instructions were specific. You're to march around one time for 6 days. And then you're to march around 7 times on the 7th day. And you're going to wait until you hear the sound of the trumpet. And then you're going to shout. And the wall is going to fall down. I remember Brother Mays years ago. He said, we need to learn to shout before the walls fall. Amen. Sometimes we wait till God does something, then we'll shout. Why don't we shout a little bit on faith? Amen. I'm heaven bound this morning with a hammer down before the sun goes down that tonight or before it comes up in the morning, I might be home. And that's enough to shout about. Amen. The Bible said, howbeit in this, rejoice not, but rather rejoice because your name's written in heaven. My name is written in heaven. I'm going home one day after a while. And I begin to think about our church. I begin to think about this pandemic. We've had some precious people that we've lost this past year on to heaven. Well, we didn't lose them. We know where they are. Amen? But you understand what I mean. They've outstripped us. They've went on home. They were strangers down here and pilgrims on the earth. But we didn't lose one to COVID-19. I think about my loved ones. I think about your loved ones. I think about the seniors in our church and how that God has helped us. And I'm telling you, what they found here in the book of Joshua was there was a danger lurking after a great victory. And I believe for our church, beloved, listen, it's not time to lay down. We're going to open up. We need people. Amen. Listen, they'll square their shoulders back. And beloved, listen, go to work for the glory of God. And listen, there's more to worship than worship. Worship requires work. Anytime in this Bible, beloved, they built an altar and all that work had to be done in order to that sacrifice. And the Bible talks about you and I giving ourselves to the work of God. The Bible says there's things here we need to remember after the victory. I'll give you 3 things this morning, and I'll try to do it as quickly as I possibly can. It's in my heart. I like what the preacher said yesterday morning, Brother Wayne. He said the pastor has got a heart for his people. It's in my heart this morning. Amen. I'm going to tell you what. We can have a Bible school for the glory of God. We can have a Sunday school for the glory of God. But listen, it's going to take people putting their heart into it. Amen. It's going to take folks, beloved, listen, maybe you've never been involved, getting involved. Amen. It's going to take all of us working together for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. Let me give you this. First of all, we learn something here. We learn how God sees his body. You say, now, Pastor, what do you mean? How many knows that when we get saved, God put us in a body? That body is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of that body. And you say, Pastor, I don't see that in the text. Well, here's what you need to see. Beloved, the Bible did not say Achan hath sinned. The Bible said Israel hath sinned. I ran into this years ago. I'm pretty good at math. I'm terrible at English. If you don't believe that, ask Miss Eve. Amen? Or anybody else that knows the English language. I can tear it up as good as anybody. But I'm pretty good at math. Years ago, I heard a man say, if you had a chain with 10 links in it, and 9 of those links will hold 10 pounds, and 1 of those links will hold 5 pounds, how much will that chain hold? Well, Brother Steve, that was easy for me. 10 times 9 is 90, and then plus 5, 95 pounds. How many knows that's the wrong answer? That chain's only going to hold 5 pounds. Listen to me, Bible Way Baptist Church. All we're going to be able to pull is what the weakest link will pull. Did you hear what I said? All we're going to be able to pull is what the weakest link will pull. I don't know about you, Brother Steve, I'm determined by the grace of God. I might not be much, but I'm a link. And I don't want to be the weakest link, amen. I want God to help me. I want God to strengthen me. I want to be able to pull my part, amen. I want to be in the yoke with Jesus, pulling when he comes after me, amen. Going in the same direction, going at the same speed. That's why Jesus said, my yoke is easy. Somebody said, it's hard to serve the Lord. That's because you're trying to do it in a stinking flesh. Get in the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost get in you. It'll be a joy to serve the Lord. Amen. A joy to serve the Lord. And so when it comes to hurting, beloved, listen, we see how God sees the body. Turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12 quickly. Romans chapter 12. My, I'm so full this morning I can't hardly stand it. God wants to help us, amen. Romans chapter number 12. Notice how this text goes together. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Paul said, I'm begging you. You know what your pastor's doing? He's begging you. He's begging you to wake up. He's begging you, amen, to pay attention. He's begging you to get involved. You say, Pastor, why would you beg us to get involved in the work? I'll tell you why. That's the happiest you'll ever be in your life. It's doing something for God. He's done everything for us. Why wouldn't we want to do something for him? Amen. I'll say this to you, beloved. I believe it with all of my heart. God has something for every one of us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I don't say this boastfully, but I say it humbly. I hadn't been saved just a few days. I went in my pastor's office, Brother Bud Wishon, and I told my pastor, I said, Pastor, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it. If you need me to paint something, I'll paint it. If you need me to mow the grass, I'll mow it. If you need me to clean a toilet, I'll clean it. If you need me to drive a bus, I'll drive it. If you need me to teach a class, I'll teach it. I didn't go in there and tell him what I would or would not do. I'm just like Isaiah. Here am I. God, just give me something to do for your honor and for your glory. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? If you haven't noticed, I have. Miss Eve has. God has blessed my life. Amen. And I'll tell you this. He has blessed my life because I'm not holding back on him. I want to do what God wants me to do. The Bible said here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. According to the proportion of faith, ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Teaching on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. What God is trying to tell us here in the book of Romans is, when God is looking down, he's looking at a body. And beloved, listen, I've got a problem in my foot. I think I'm going this week. Brother Houston tried to get me to go last week. I keep putting it off. I've got a problem. My foot's telling my whole body, there's a problem down there. It's been going on for months, and I'm going to try to go get some help. But can I tell you what's going on in my foot? It's affecting my whole body. Amen. When one part of the body hurts, beloved, the whole body hurts. I'm telling you, that's why the Bible said, weep with them that weep and mourn with them that mourn. I'm glad this morning, listen, I'm part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. How God sees his body over there in the book of Joshua. Our beloved, they may not have been able to figure it out. They might have said, well, why are we all going through this? Achan's the one that did it. I'm telling you what, if we get a hold of this morning, we'd be careful. Amen. We'd be careful not to let old Slewfoot in our home. We'd be careful not to let old Slewfoot in our heart. We'd be careful not to let old Slewfoot in the house of God. If we'd realize, beloved, it's not just going to affect one or two, but it's going to affect the whole body of Christ. We need to be careful how God sees his body. Let me give you this. I thought this was good. I mean that. Brother Wayne, I was coming out yesterday out of the fellowship hall over there at Oak Glen, and Brother Tommy, and I can't remember who else it was. It might have been Brother David, Brother Gale's son, Brother Gale Gardner. I think it might have been him. I'm not sure. I know it was Brother Tommy Jesse. He's the one led the choir Friday night. You know what they were doing, Brother Wayne? They were getting the trash out of the trash can. It was full. And they were getting it out, shaking it down, tying it up, and taking it out. You say, I'm the choir director. I ain't going to take no trash out. Well, that ain't the way he felt about it. There's trash that needs to be taken out. Y'all, don't you think about that when I'm reading this. Beloved, you say, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm not going to take the trash out. You say, I'm the pastor. I'm not going to take the trash out. I'm a preacher. I'm not going to take the trash out. I'm going to tell you what, if your heart's right with God, you'll do whatever needs to be done when it needs to be done for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. I like this. I read this, Brother Steve. I thought it just made a perfect point about the body. In the March of 1981, President Reagan was shot by John Hinckley Jr. and was hospitalized for several weeks. Although Reagan was the nation's chief executive, his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. Government continued on. On the other hand, suppose the garbage collectors in this country went on strike, as they did long ago in Philadelphia. That city was not only in a literal mess, the pile of decaying trash quickly became a health hazard. A three-week nationwide strike would paralyze the country. Who is more important, the president or a garbage collector? In the body of Christ, seemingly insignificant ones are urgently needed. As Paul reminds us, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of thee. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. I say hallelujah. Amen. You say, preacher, I can't teach the word of God. Maybe that's right. That's not everybody's gift. But you can do something for the glory of God Almighty. I promise you, you can do something. You can come in here in a Bible school and just listen to the little youngins recite their verses. Amen. You can do something for the glory of God in the Bible school, in the Sunday school, in the Sunday services. Everybody can do something for the glory of God. Everybody that's saved has access to the throne room of God. You can stop on a Sunday morning before you ever get in your car and fall down on your face somewhere at your house or when you get here or get in the corner of your Sunday school room teachers and begin to pray for your kids and begin to pray for their families. Most of the families are in a mess these days and need God to help them. In a desperate way, we see as we come to this pile of rocks, we can learn how God sees the body. Beloved, listen, the whole body was suffering because of a decision that one man, and listen to me, if you found out that I was going to resign tonight, oh, listen, some might even be happy. But I'm going to tell you this right now, we would not think about it right. In a right manner. Oh, he's the pastor. Oh, what are we going to do? We're going to have to go to looking for a pastor. I'm going to tell you something right now. My position at Bible Way Baptist Church is no more important than your position at Bible Way Baptist Church. And we better get a hold of that if we're ever going to see the church do what God wants the church to do and grow the way God wants the church to grow. We're going to have to understand that each one of us have a responsibility in the kingdom of God and square our shoulders back and do what we can. Amen. And trust God to do what we can't. God's wanting us to do what we can when it comes to hurting or sin. We see how God sees His body. When it comes to helping, we see how God sees His body. And when it comes to healing, we see how God helps His body and sees His body. You say, Pastor, what had to do, what had to happen for this body to heal? I'll tell you what had to happen. Listen, nobody likes this. Sin had to be dealt with. Listen, if you'd be honest and I'd be honest, none of us like it when sin is dealt with in our lives. But I'm telling you something right now. I believe if there's ever been a time that in the church, the Bible said judgment must first begin at the house of God. Ever been a time we need to look in that mirror? Ever been a time we need to be crying out, search me, O God. Know my heart. Look at my ways, Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. It's the time and the hour that we live in. We see in this pile of rocks how God sees His body. Secondly, we see how God sees His battle. You say, Pastor, I thought this was the children of Israel's battle. That's where you're wrong. I thought this was Bible Way's battle. That's where you're wrong. You see, David, when he was getting ready to go down there and face that Philistine, that giant in the valley, David had it right. Here's what he said. The battle is the Lord's. Honey, I'm telling you what, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me give you something here. Let me tell you something. Listen to me carefully. How many of you all are parents? Would you raise your hand if you're a parent, if God has blessed you with youngins? How many of you all, listen to me carefully, listen to me, I'm trying to help us. I found out something a long time ago when I busted my knee open and Daddy sent Mama for peroxide and we didn't have any. She come back with a bottle of rubbing alcohol and said, this is all we got. I found out a long time ago, it might hurt, but it'll heal. I've never had anything, Brother Larry, heal that fast in all my life. I was chasing that boy that hit my brother. I fell down. Now, I mean, that my daddy had to take tweezers and pick the gravels out of my knee. He dumped that alcohol in there, and I believe I could have passed the motorcycle. Amen. But it got better quick. It scabbed over in days. Just got better. It might hurt. How many of y'all got youngins? Listen to me. How many's here? If you ain't got youngins in you here, raise your hand. Amen. If you got youngins in you here, raise your hand. That ought to be everybody. Now listen to me. Brother Preston, if that woman fixed three meals a day, every day she fixes three meals a day, and them youngins only show up for one of them, would it concern you? If your wife, Brother Steve, fixed three meals a day, and Chloe only showed up for one of them, would it concern you? How many's listening? Guess what God does? He fixes us three meals a week right here in this church. Some show up for one. Some show up for two. Actually, Brother John, when we get Sunday school started back, it'll be four meals a week. You say, Pastor, you ain't got no business being concerned about us. Well, let me tell you this, then you ain't got no business being concerned about your kids. Brother David, them grandbabies, would you be concerned if there was three meals prepared every day and they only showed up for one of them? You say, Pastor, that's rough. I'm telling you what, we are the body of Christ. God loves us. He sees us. He sees what's more important on Sunday night and Wednesday night and Sunday school time. He sees what's more important. Oh, you say, Pastor, I would never say that's more important. When you miss this for that, that's what you said. I remember going to Wise. My children loved to play ball. And they were like their daddy. They were good at it. Oh, they signed them up. I said, now listen, before you sign them up for something, you need to know, Wednesday night in revival, they won't be here. Oh, they just take that with a grain of salt. Sure, yeah, yeah. And they got to play, and they got to playing good, and they got those tournaments and all this stuff going on. We need them. I said, I told you when we started. We got to have them. I told you when we started. You say, Pastor, you're a lunatic. Leave me alone. I believe with all of my heart, if you'll seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, God will bless you. Amen. All these other things will be added unto you. Amen. You say, Pastor, nobody's preaching that anymore. Well, I'm going to preach as long as it's in the Bible. And it's in the Word of God. Amen. How God sees the battle. There's a plan for the battle. God laid it out specifically. There's a people for the battle. There's a provision in the battle. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? There was a scarlet thread. Rahab was going to be spared as long as she let down that scarlet thread. And the provision was this. The thread better be there, and everybody that you want saved better be in the house with you. Honey, there's people sitting in this building today, folks in their own family is not in, and they're not concerned. I'm telling you, what's the truth, beloved? Listen to me. It's time we realize the King is coming, and He's not going to be looking for your membership or your baptism certificate or how much money you dropped in the plate. He's looking for that scarlet thread, the blood of Jesus. It's been applied to your heart and to your life. We see how God sees His body. We see how God sees His battle. And then the last thing in the message today, we see how God sees what's buried. The children of Israel did not know what was buried in Achan's tent. Achan knew. Maybe some of you guys, Brother Larry, Brother John, that's studied for years can tell me. But I read over there where Achan was stoned and his children, his sons and his daughters. But Brother Steve, I can't find his wife. I can't find out anything. I don't know if his wife had passed away. I don't know. If you know, I would love for you to come to me after church and tell me. But the thought went through my heart and through my mind, Brother John. If I had a bunch of youngins to take care of, I didn't have no wife, Brother Steve, I might be inclined to take me a little silver or a little gold. What I'm trying to tell you is his intention might have been good. I think there's at least that possibility. Please don't get mad at me, but that's just the way my mind works sometimes. Maybe he's thinking, maybe he wasn't even thinking of himself. When he took, I wonder how many people have robbed God and they wasn't really thinking of themselves, but it has the same effect. Is anybody home? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, I'm not the treasurer of this church. And Brother Gary will tell you, I never ask him who gives what. It'll never make any difference in my heart if you give $1,000 or if you give $1. If you'll give what God wants you to give, God will bless you. And I'm not going to think any higher of one that gives this and one that gives this. As a matter of fact, if I understand the Bible correctly, it might be the widow's mite when she cast in all of her living. But I'm telling you, beloved, the Bible, listen, we've got a year. God has blessed us. God has helped us. He's helped us physically. He's helped us financially. He's helped us spiritually. And I'm telling you, beloved, listen, as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, there have been people through this year that have given God what they're supposed to give God. And as sure as I'm standing in this pulpit, there's some folks got some catching up to do. If you want the blessing of God on your life, many people, their tithes and their mission money, it goes on vacation and never comes back. That's not right. That's right, but that's not right. I know what you meant, Brother Steve. Amen. I'm picking on Brother Steve because he knows how to take me. At least he should by now. Amen. If he gets sideways with me, Miss Cindy will straighten him out. Amen. You say, Pastor, you worried about money? No, I'm not worried about money. I'm worried about your blessing. I'm worried about you standing before God one day. God happened to say to you, you robbed me. You robbed me. I want you to stand there and hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. The Bible is talking about here, beloved, how God sees what's buried. There was something in Achan's tent that was pertaining to the world, that Babylonian garment. I'm going to tell you something right now. This is not priests anymore, but we shouldn't dress like the world. Just because the world's wearing bikinis to church don't mean we ought to wear them to church. We ought to be modest. I said we, men and women alike, we ought to be modest. Amen? We ought to want the attention. When we come through those doors drawn to our Savior, not ourselves. The Word of God was something pertaining to the world. It was buried in Achan's tent. Joshua didn't even know it was there. Joshua's down on his face. I made a couple of notes here. Joshua was a discouraged leader. He's down on his face. They've lost 36 men. They're running from the enemy. He's discouraged. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. When folks that hold leadership positions in a church are not faithful, it discourages the pastor. I think once was enough to say that, don't you? You say, Pastor, you ain't got no business being discouraged. If you ain't figured it out, I'll tell you. I'm human. And there are things that discourage me. Not only was he a discouraged leader, but he's a distraught leader. He's down on his face saying, would to God we'd have stayed over yonder in the wilderness. But then I'm going to tell you this. God said, Joshua, get up. There's sin in the camp. And when God said that, Brother Steve, he was a determined leader. He wasn't going to give up till he found out where it was at and who was responsible. And God turned the whole situation around. I'll say this morning. You can learn a lot from a pile of rocks. Right after that great victory, there was a great danger. They didn't know it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Pastor, y'all don't know it. Some of you don't know it, but Mother's Day, I've been here 8 years. Does anybody know what the number 8 is? I didn't even plan on saying this. Anybody know what the number of 8 represents? Brother Larry, do you know? I'm not putting you on the spot. You know, don't you, brother? New beginning. A new beginning. Now, I'm not sure what God's doing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. My burden for Bible Way Baptist Church, Houston Smith, is not what it was when I came here 8 years ago. It's so much greater than it was. You see, what happens in an 8-year period of time, you get to know me a little better. And I get to know you a little better. Somebody help me. And there's a danger after the victory of getting complacent, the danger of thinking somebody else will take the trash out. I'm going to tell you something right now. I thank my God for a little place to work in the field of my heavenly Boaz. It might just be a corner to glean in, but I thank my God for that little place to work in my Savior's field. Beloved, this morning, we can learn a lot from a pile of rock. There's some things here that God wants us to remember. How God sees His body, how God sees the battle, how God sees what's buried. There was something pertaining to the world buried in that tent. And then there was something pertaining to worship that was buried in that tent. It didn't belong in that tent. I'll tell you something right now. If you've got something that belongs to God in your tent, you need to get it out of the tent and give it to God. If you've got something pertaining to this world in your tent, maybe you've got some of them old movies and stuff that ain't fit to watch, music that ain't fit to listen to, magazines that ain't fit to open, be a happy day if you get that mess out of your house, out from under your tent, and let God bless you. Let God bless you. Let God bless you. Ladies, don't get hooked on as the stomach churns. The days of our lives, the old and the hopeless. Men, I never did get hooked on none of that. Mama done enough of that for both of us. But I got hooked on Dallas. Some of y'all laughing because you was hooked too. That ain't nothing but a nighttime slop opera. Say amen! What if we'd have spent as much time praying and reading the Bible and talking to others about Jesus as we did watching that slop? More interested in somebody getting saved than who shot JR. All I knew the whole time is somebody needed to shoot him. Y'all still love me? I promise you this. I love you. Our best days are ahead. They're not behind us. They're ahead. If we'll just receive what God's wanting us to learn from a pile of rocks, they're heaped up over Achan, over his children. It still rings true today. God has a plan for His saints. God has a people for His service. But let me give you this. God has a punishment for sin. Achan could choose his sin. Let me give you this. Please help me, Michael. Achan's confession did not relieve Achan of the consequence. He confessed it, Brother Gary Joe, but he still had to pay the price. Years ago, I heard this, and it's not original with me. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences. It may show up in your youngins. It may show up in your grandyoungins. But I believe if God has said anything the Bible way today, He said this, it will show up in your church. There's people say, preacher, I would never bury that gold. I would never bury that silver. I would never bury that garment. Yet you got bitterness buried in your heart. You got hard feelings. I'm not sure which is worse. I'll tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. It's the grace of God your pastor's not bitter. It's the grace of God your pastor's still in the ministry. Because the right hand of fellowship that I've wanted to offer some people along the way, Brother Larry, didn't go like this. It went like this. Say amen. You got flesh, brother. You fooled me. I'll ask Miss Diane. Amen. Diane, I'm sorry. Amen. We all got flesh. And it needs to be brought under the influence of the precious Holy Spirit. Who's got a song this morning, sis? Somebody does. Let's bow our heads for prayer.